Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit needed. That's VSINPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We have a link for that in the description. I want to start today. It is Monday, December 29th. We are recording this at around 10:15 a.m. Eastern, talking about a little bit of what we saw over the weekend, as we always do on the Monday shows. And I think that the best place to start is kind of with Keyonte George. I've been kind of trying to hammer this point home over the last couple of weeks and really a few months now, because I believe I gave it out on November 7th. I need to check that date completely, but I said Keyonte George was a good 35-1 bet to win most improved player. I said it again when he was 25-1 and kind of talked about it a little bit last week when it was like 16-1. But I really, really tried to stress that this is about the last chance you're going to have to get a really strong number on him. He's still out there at 15-1 to win most improved player at FanDuel. And I'm starting to think that this is a conversation that other people are having and not just me on this show. I saw over the weekend, actually, Jonathan Von Tobel kept sending me tweets of like, major prominent, you know, basketball analysts, you know, people that actually have awards votes talking about what he's been doing lately. And that is nice for me as somebody that's been talking about it to pretty much nobody for a couple of weeks now. But since the start of December, Keyonte George is averaging 26.9 points per game, 6.8 assists per game. He came into this game, whatever the next Utah game is, having scored at least 30 points in four of his last eight. And he just led the Jazz to back-to-back wins over the Pistons and the Spurs. And he scored 31 points against Detroit in that win. Had eight assists in that game as well. Then 28 points and six assists in the win over San Antonio, which was in San Antonio. A win over a very hot Spurs team that everyone keeps talking about as a new Western Conference contender. He's just absolutely lighting it up. And I think that the conversation with him now has moved from, you know, borderline bad rotation player last year, like a player that, you know, apparently Utah really had to drill in some thoughts to him in his exit interviews last season after the year to tell him, like, if you don't straighten these things out, we're going in other directions. And you almost saw it with them drafting Walter Clayton, where they drafted him in last year's 2025 NBA draft. But he's come back this season and he's looked the part of almost an all-star. Like, he has been that good for this Jazz team. And I tweeted a few nights ago kind of all of the statistical improvements he's made when looking at both traditional stats and advanced stats. But, you know, seeing him actually go out and beat the Pistons and the Spurs as, you know, the 1A or the one, maybe the 1B to Lauri Markkanen's 1A with this Utah team, I really think that that was kind of a wake-up moment for a lot of NBA media members. And I do think that you should grab him at 15-1. I still think that's a good price. I think anything at 10-1 or better at this point is a good move, because I do think that he's going to be a really big part of the conversation with some of the bigger members of this board right now. I know that there are guys like Denny Avdia, Jalen Duren, you know, Jalen Johnson, Josh Giddey, that have all made really impressive leaps themselves. But we're now talking about a player that has made a very similar one. And I think that he was the worst player of this group last season, and now he's one of the best. So I really think this is a good opportunity to just grab him. And I think it's the last opportunity, because a few more of these games and that price is going to disappear now that people are really starting to talk about it. The other thing I wanted to talk about from over the weekend, which is definitely a little bit interesting given where we've kind of buried them earlier in the season, but the Clippers have won four straight and they have now done it with a couple of wins over some good teams. You know, they've beat the Rockets, the Lakers, and last night a blowout win over the Pistons, where Kawhi Leonard scored 55 points. Derek Jones Jr. is now back for this team, adding another, you know, versatile wing defender for them to kind of get things going on that end of the floor. And they're 2.5 games back from a play-in spot. And I really bring this up because they're not really in a position where they're going to get a top six seed. Like, that is absolutely gone, I think. Like, they are so far back. Yeah, I believe it's 9.5 games back from the Timberwolves right now, who are the sixth seed in the Western Conference. I don't see that happening, but it is absolutely possible that they end up grabbing a play-in spot. It's probably likely at this point, because I do think that they've sorted out a lot of their issues. Even without Ivica Zubac, they've been playing pretty well. Brook Lopez has kind of stepped into that starting five and given them some good stuff. I think he hit 9 threes 2 games ago. Like, he's been shooting the ball really well. He's been doing some really good work as a rim protector. And it's just a team that now needs to be taken seriously again. I've been on them the last couple of nights, which is good. I mean, I did bury them earlier in the year like everybody else did. But that was more about where they were compared to expectations. I did not see them, you know, finishing the year as one of the five worst teams in the league. They're just way too talented. And as long as James Harden and Kawhi Leonard were healthy, that was never going to happen. But it's definitely a team now that we should probably start to rate a little bit closer to what we did last season. And hopefully, you know, it actually benefits us and we get some, you know, good lines on them, because I do think that it might take a little bit of time for, you know, people to catch up or the market to catch up on how well this team is playing. But yeah, four in a row, you know, advanced stats in that time look really good, and they're going to get Zubats back eventually. I do kind of wonder if Lopez continues to play well, if maybe a threading the needle move between now and the future is seeing what's out there for Zubats. If you can get like a young rotation player and a first round pick or two, probably two first round picks is what you need to get for him. But, you know, I did a video on trade ideas last week or 2 weeks ago. It was last week. It was a trade idea that I had, you know, sending him to Boston for a player like Hugo Gonzalez in a first round pick. Like, I would still wonder if maybe there's a move out there to be made where you get a little bit younger and you do have Lopez still at the center spot, but I don't know. I just think this team needs to be, you know, kind of taken seriously in terms of betting in the future. So that is my other takeaway from the weekend. I don't have much else, you know, other than the fact that the Spurs losing to the Jazz was a little bit eye-popping considering where we saw that team last week, but it's not something that I would really overreact to. And the other takeaway I have is that the Hawks are just, you know, tailspin right now. Like, the team has been absolutely awful. Whether you want to blame Trae Young or you want to blame others, things are not looking good in Atlanta, and they are actually part of, you know, they're getting double digits tonight against OKC in a game that I'm not even going to talk about because the spread is so large. The Thunder are laying, what is that game? I believe it is, 16.5 points. It does seem like Kristaps Porzingis is going to come back for them soon, but man, that team just looks really, really bad. And I know that things look great offensively at times for them, but the defense is just so bad that you could blame Young. I would also throw in that Jalen Johnson hasn't been great and Okongwu hasn't been great, but it's just been a nightmare since Young came back. And yeah, it's just a team that I'd be looking to fade, you know, pretty much for the next couple of weeks, unless they really show some signs of life. But anyway, let's move on to the games for tonight. As I just mentioned, I'm going to skip that Hawks and Thunder game. I don't like to talk about games with large, large point spreads. And if I don't have anything, it's just not worth talking about. Two other games I'm going to skip are Suns at Wizards and Pacers at Rockets. Pacers Rockets is another game where the Rockets are laying 15.5 and the Suns are double digit favorites in Washington in a game where Mark Williams will not be playing for Phoenix because he was suspended for essentially being punched in the face by Jose Alvarado, who was suspended two games in that Pelican Suns game that got chippy. But I just don't have a really good read on what the Suns are going to look like without Williams. Might end up adding a player prop on Oso Iguodaro to do some things, because I do think that he's been pretty solid when he gets these starter minutes for the Suns, and he is a player that could kind of fill up the stat sheet. But I'm skipping those three games. I want to start with the Bucks at the Hornets for tonight. The Bucks are laying 2.5 points, totals 227.5. This game tips at 7:10 p.m. Eastern, and this is a really interesting game because Giannis is now back for the Bucks, and he played very, very well last game in a win. He had 29 points, 8 rebounds, and 25 minutes of action. This team is now 10-8 with Giannis on the floor this season. And I do think that if Giannis is able to stay healthy, this becomes a bet-on team again, because I do really like what some of the bit players have done for this team all year, honestly. Like, I've been really high on Ryan Rollins. I think Kevin Porter Jr. is a player that they have on a discount because of his off-the-court issues. And I like, you know, some of the role players like AJ Green. I like, obviously, you know, Miles Turner, who maybe is not as good as he was with Indiana. He's definitely on the decline at this point in his career, but still a good floor spacer, still a decent rim protector. And I just think that overall, like, when you look at the Bucks, it looks really bad because there's no true, like, number two option on this team. But I think that they have a lot of solid players, you know, 1 through 8. And I do think that they're going to be a factor in the Eastern Conference. And they're a team that I actually think will end up making the postseason. And I think that that actually might be worth a bet as we kind of look at futures, you know, as well. So I think this is an interesting game because the Hornets are also playing insanely well lately. There's some really strong numbers right now for when LaMelo Ball, Con Knipple, and Brandon Miller are on the floor together in terms of points per 100 possessions. And that's exactly what this Charlotte team was hoping for when they drafted Con Knipple, where they took him. They thought that adding, you know, a floor spacer and somebody that can make a major offensive impact without desperately needing the basketball in between those two guys would make them a much better basketball team. And so far it has. I know that, you know, it really doesn't say much that, you know, when you look at their record over the course of the season, they're 11-20, but they have been a lot more competitive lately. And I do think this is going to be a close game. And we actually saw Charlotte take Milwaukee to overtime in Milwaukee earlier in the season. The Bucks ended up winning that game, but I do think this is going to be a fun game to watch. I kind of lean Bucks because I just kind of think Milwaukee's a little bit better defensively. And I do worry about the rim protection on the Charlotte side. Like I've mentioned this before, but Kalkbrenner is a player that puts up pretty good, you know, shot blocking numbers. I'd say the same about Diabate. Ken Shep blocks some shots, but overall, this team is 24th in the league at guarding at the rim. So they don't do a great job of defending around the basket, even if some guys do block shots. And that's not exactly what you want when you're facing a team with Giannis Antetokounmpo who can live in the paint. And I actually think Ryan Rollins is similar. And that's actually why the one play that I do have in this game is for Rollins to go over 19.5 points and assists at minus 105. And this was kind of, you know, an early season favorite for me. I was going to this when it was much higher, when it was like, you know, 27.5, 28.5. And Rollins was serving as really the only guard on this team with no Kevin Porter Jr. in the lineup. But now that Porter Jr. and Giannis are back, you know, the number has come way down, but I still think he's playing, you know, enough minutes to continue to go over this. He's actually gone over his points and assists in five straight games. He had 25 in Giannis's return the other night. And I do think that the minutes restriction that Giannis is on is going to help a little bit because there's still some more that Rollins is going to be able to do in some minutes with Giannis off the floor. And this is just a really good matchup for Rollins. Like I said, this Hornets team is 24th in the league defending around the basket. Rollins scores 34% of his points at the rim. They're 23rd in the league at guarding above the break threes. That's another place where he scored 34% of his points. And also, this is a team that's not great defending in isolation. They're not great at defending pull-up shooters. Rollins scores 31% of his points on pull-up jumpers. So I just think this is a really good matchup for him to get going as a scorer and a passer. And he's averaging 27.5 points and assists in two meetings with Charlotte this year. So I think this is a really reasonable ask for him to have 20 plus, even if his role is a little bit down from where we saw earlier in the year. Next games I want to talk about, I'm lumping them together because I put in a parlay on this actually very late last night. Warriors at Nets at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And Nuggets at Heat, also at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. This is a game where the Warriors are 4.5-point favorites, and the total is 221.5 in that first game. Well, they're really at the same time, so not the first game. But then the Nuggets are 2.5-point favorites in Miami with a total 245.5. And what I have in these two games is essentially a teaser. I have the Nets on an alternate spread of plus 10.5 against the Warriors, and the Heat on an alternate spread of plus 8.5 against the Nuggets. I got that at minus 118. As of right now, you could also get that at minus 118. I actually thought I saw it at minus 12 somewhere, so you might be able to do better than I did. And I'm actually playing this to win 1.5 units, so it's a bigger play for me. I'll start with Warriors Nets. This Golden State team is coming off an overtime loss against Toronto yesterday. It's a much older team. These back-to-back games are hard enough when they're not playing extra time, but they had to play an extra 5 minutes in a grueling game yesterday. It was an afternoon game, so there was a little bit of extra time to prepare, but I do think that the Warriors off of back-to-back are very difficult to trust, and I do think the Nets are playing some awesome basketball right now. They've actually won three straight games, with one of them being a road win over the Timberwolves. That's as impressive as it gets. This Brooklyn team is now 7-3 straight up and against the spread over the last 10 games. They are third in the league in net rating in that span. First in defense, actually, so better than OKC defensively over the last 10 games. And this is actually a pretty significant sample size. Like, I actually spoke last week about how this Nets team was playing a little bit better. It was a smaller sample size then. Now it's getting pretty significant, and the defense seems legit. Like, Jordy Fernandez is just such a good coach. Like, early in the season last year, Brooklyn was looking like a playoff team and had to sell off all of its veteran, you know, contributors because they did not want to make the playoffs. But this year, like, it started really ugly, and now he's just kind of figured it out on the fly and gotten this team to look like a play-in caliber team, maybe even a little bit better than that. And I don't know that they actually will end up making the play-in, but, man, they're not too far out of it right now. Three games out, and they are playing as well as they are. It's definitely possible, and they just got Cam Thomas back. So already so good defensively, and now you add a guy that just had 30 points in 20 minutes in his return to action. I just think this team is going to continue to be a kind of a covering machine the rest of the season. And I think that this is a game where they're going to put up a fight. They're going to potentially win. I just wanted a little bit of extra cushion because if it is a little bit close late in this game, you would expect Steph Curry to find a way to help that Warriors team win, and you just never know if it's going to end up being by one possession or two. And I just think having a few extra points in your pocket is going to help you. And I feel similarly about the other game, which is why I paired these two together, Heat alternate plus 8.5 versus the Nuggets. This Denver team is in a really bad way right now. They've lost two of their last three, and it's pretty much all because of injuries. Like I said on the Friday show, the Nuggets as of that moment and as of right now as well, if they can get healthy, they're my pick to win the NBA Finals. I think this is the best team in basketball. I just need to see them healthy. As of right now, they're far from it with Christian Brown, Aaron Gordon, and Cam Johnson now injured. This is a team that is pretty much completely depleted when looking at 2 through 4 on the depth chart. And I just think it's a really tough ask for them to go into Miami and beat, you know, a really good Heat team that has, you know, won 2 straight games, has that fast-paced offense that's going to kind of test the legs of the Nuggets and the depth of the Nuggets in this game. And I think that, you know, I'd be leaning Miami on the normal point spread in this game of 2.5. And I think there's a really good chance Miami wins, but it's a similar situation where Joker late in the game can easily find a way for the Nuggets to win and win by multiple possessions. So I'd rather have, you know, 8.5 in this game. And I thought at -118, it was really reasonable. I absolutely love these alternate point parlays, whether it's NBA or NFL. I found it to be a loophole to kind of, you know, books changing the way that they're pricing teasers, especially in the NFL. I know that you're listening to this for the NBA, but I'll give you a little note right now. But like most books charge -130, -140, -150 for teasers these days. If you do alternate parlays instead and just kind of shop around all your books that are available to you, you'll be able to find -118 to -120 and get back into the normal teaser range with the same exact numbers that you're looking for. So I think these alternate point parlays are very important for sports bettors to get familiar with. And I've actually really enjoyed them in the NBA too. And yeah, I'm going with one for these two games. Nets alternate plus 10.5 versus the Warriors. Heat alternate plus 8.5 versus the Nuggets, -118. Start the new year off as a better bettor with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now and get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79, including daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, covering everything from the college football playoffs and NFL playoffs to March Madness and the Masters. Plus, you'll receive our college football playoff betting guide, complete with expert brackets, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, college football playoff and bowl game best bets, and previews for every single bowl game. Start the new year with an edge. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. I think that's a fantastic offer. I've been doing a lot of those bowl game write-ups. I think that you'll really enjoy them. And yeah, really, really excited for the college football playoff. I'm sure everybody is as well. Anybody that's betting on basketball is probably betting on games that big for football. And yeah, we've been covering it, you know, in a big way over at vsin.com, but also on our VSiN channel. And if you watch along on the VSiN Watch app, it's another way to watch our awesome live shows or catch them after they go live with being able to watch the replays. Next game I want to talk about is the Magic at the Raptors. This is a game where is that spread? I'm missing it right now. Sorry. Magic are laying 1.5 points in Toronto. Total's 220.5. And this is a game where I don't have a side or a total. I do lean Magic, but I actually think that Anthony Black over 27.5 points, rebounds, and assists at -110 is a great play for tonight. This is a guy that's gone over this mark in 5 straight games. He's averaging 34.8. PRA in that span, and it's another game where it looks like there's going to be no Jalen Suggs. He's listed as doubtful for this Orlando team. Black is averaging 28.2 PRA with no Suggs this season, so over this mark by a little bit, but he's averaging 33.5 PRA with no Suggs and Franz Wagner, and Wagner is out again for Orlando tonight. And I just kind of think that Black has been quietly one of the stories of the year in the NBA. He's 21 years old. He's averaging 15.1 points per game, 4.2 rebounds per game, 3.5 assists, 1.3 steals, and he's shooting 45.7% from the floor, 35.6% from three, and he has just been so good on both ends for this Magic team that has really started to play some better basketball after a slow start to the year. And Black has been a big part of it because he's improved his jumper a little bit to the point that when you leave him wide open, he's going to knock down some shots, but he's also just so dangerous attacking the basket. He's got a crazy quick twitch to his game. He has a big explosive first step. He's big for a lead guard and just overall really like his skill set. And he's kind of added another dimension to this Magic team with his improved play. And I just think that as long as you have absences in this lineup and you have absences when it comes to ball handling specifically, he's a threat to put up big numbers, even in a matchup that I think is not that great. Toronto's now healthy. They got RJ Barrett back last game. This is a team that's already pretty good defensively and pretty aggressive defensively. So they're going to try to get the ball out of Black's hands. But I just think that over 27 and a half, this number is just a little bit too low. I think you have to play it because of the volume you're going to see and the role you're going to see out of Black alone tonight. I think he's going to end up going over. And I will say, I do have a lean to the Magic in this game. Like, those are two big absences in Wagner and Suggs, but I do think that Orlando is deep enough now to kind of figure it out. And I also kind of think that weirdly, like, this is not a Magic team that you talk about having a major advantage at the center position very often, but I do think that Wendell Carter Jr. is going to have a good game in this one. I think that he's played some really good basketball as well for Orlando since the start of this season, and Toronto's pretty weak at the center spot when you look at other teams around the league. I've always liked Jakob Poeltl, but have not been too impressed with his play this season. And I do think that center spot has been a bit of a, you know, just a black hole for the Raptors this year. So I mean, this is a game that the Magic should really win, even in Toronto. And like I said, you know, with the Warriors before, Toronto's coming off an overtime win. It's tougher on an older team like Golden State, but it's not easy on anybody to play the second leg of a back-to-back and to do it when you are playing an overtime period. It's a little bit of extra minutes, a little bit of extra tax. So I think this is a good spot for the Magic. Next game I want to talk about is the Timberwolves at the Bulls, but I was about to say two games because this is another game that I am parlaying. I said I had that other parlay last night. I don't normally put in multiple parlays. It's a little bit too much for me, but I do like the Timberwolves as a parlay anchor tonight in their game against the Bulls. They're 6.5-point favorites. Totals 240.5. Game tips at 8:10 p.m. Eastern. Minnesota's coming off a loss to the Nets. I mentioned before, like, this Nets team is playing really well. That loss is not as bad as you might think. And it was a tough spot for Minnesota coming off an overtime loss to the Nuggets on Christmas Day. I think you're going to see them bounce back against the Bulls. And I think that this matchup is just perfect for them because the Bulls are terrible on the defensive end of the floor. They can make any average team look great offensively. And Minnesota is above average offensively. So I think they're going to look unstoppable in this game. And I do think that the Timberwolves have kind of the defense you need to slow down this Bulls team that is really offensive-minded, and in my opinion, offensive-minded despite not having the best offensive pieces. And I just think when you're getting a Minnesota team off a loss, they're going to find a way to win this game. I just don't trust them to do it with the spread because this is a team that just – under Chris Finch, cannot be trusted late in games. They get lazy, they get careless, and they find ways to throw away games, let alone covers. So I don't trust them to cover 6.5-7 here. But Timberwolves money line, I think, is a great team to throw into your parlays. And the one that I ended up adding with them this morning was actually with the Cavaliers on an alternate spread of +10.5 against the Spurs in another game that tips at 8:10 p.m. Eastern to be exact. And the Spurs are 2.5-point favorites in that game. 241.5 is the total. I have a lean on Cleveland at 2.5, but I'm being a bit of a coward here and taking an extra 8 points. But I just really like this parlay at -125. It's Timberwolves money line, Cavaliers +10.5. And the reason that I like Cleveland in that game against San Antonio, whether you're looking just at the 2.5 or 3 or to jump on this parlay that I'm giving out now, it's because the Cavaliers, I think, have shown some real signs of life lately, and they are getting healthy. They got Evan Mobley back on Christmas Day. I think that that's going to change everything for them. And I know that they just lost by 17 points against Houston on Saturday, but they got absolutely drilled by Kenny Atkinson after that effort. He questioned the team's, you know, just intensity from the start. And I think that you're seeing, you know, a team that is now at full strength. They're going to come back and bounce back from their team trying to, you know, their coach trying to get a little bit more out of their team. And I do think the matchup bodes pretty well for them as well, because you have Jared Allen and Mobley in the paint to kind of disrupt Victor Wembanyama. And I also think that the Cavaliers guards in Garland and Mitchell are capable of blowing by those Spurs young point of attack defenders who are excellent. You know, Castle and Harper have both been great at the point of attack. Fox has done his part as well. But Fox is questionable for this game, which is part of the reason this spread is so low. But just overall, I think that Garland and Mitchell are going to be able to create. And I do think that this is going to be a game where Cleveland just kind of shows up and really gives San Antonio a run for its money. I think there's a chance that the Cavaliers end up winning this game in San Antonio. So I have that parlay, but I do have a lean on the Cavaliers if you're looking for just, you know, to play that game on its own. Next game is Knicks at Pelicans at 8:10 p.m. Eastern. The Knicks are laying 8.5 points in this game. The total is up at 246.5, wildly high. And this is a game where I actually think that New Orleans plus 8.5 at -108 is the play. I think that this Knicks team has been awesome for the better part of a month now. I mean, they're 14-3 straight up in their last 17 games. I've talked about them being the easy favorite in the Eastern Conference, but I do think that this team is struggling a little bit to cover numbers right now. They're 0-5-1 against the spread in their last six games. And then you throw in the fact that this is a road game. The road has been a problem for the Knicks all season. I mean, they're 3-7 against the spread as road favorites under Mike Brown. They're 3-10 against the spread overall. They're also going up against a Pelicans team that is 9-5 against the spread as home underdogs ever since James Borrego took over for Willie Green. They're also a perfect 7-0 against the spread when facing teams that outscore opponents by 3-plus points per game since Borrego took over. And also under Borrego, they're 3-0 against the spread when facing teams with winning percentages of 75-plus. So this is a Pelicans team that is consistently kind of holding its own and punching above its weight, honestly, against some of the elite teams in this league. And I do think that the market is just not catching up to this New Orleans team being better than a bottom of the barrel group. I know that this, you know, the Suns just won two in a row in New Orleans, but that was, you know, two games that actually were a little bit closer than the final score suggested, at least the first one. The first one was actually very, very close, and it was a game the Pelicans had a chance of winning. And I do think that there are some major absences on the Knicks side tonight with, you know, Josh Hart and Mitchell Robinson, two of the grittiest players on this Knicks team being out. I think you're looking at a New York team that's pretty much going to be relying, you know, strictly on shot making and overall talent. You're not going to have Robinson to do the dirty work on the offensive glass. You're not going to have Hart to play his, you know, usual brand of great perimeter defense and also help Robinson as an awesome rebounder on the wing. And that really should help the Pelicans, who are very, very talented, keep this game from getting out of hand. So I think the 8.5 with the Pelicans is a really good play in tonight's game. The final game that I'm going to talk about is the Mavericks at the Blazers. This game tips at 10:40 p.m. Eastern. Blazers are 2.5-point favorites at home. Total's 232.5, and this is a game where I have a pretty strong lean on the Mavericks, but that is under, you know, the assumption that Anthony Davis, who is questionable with a groin injury, returns tonight. If he does not come back and play, I would not touch it when looking at the sides or totals. But I think if Davis plays, this is a game I would expect Dallas to win outright. So you're probably going to see that number get closer to pick 'em if Davis is ruled as active. But I would be fine with taking the Mavericks if he does play. So keep an eye on that. But whether or not Davis is out there, I like Cooper Flagg to go over 23.5 points at -114. And this is a play I lost on Saturday against the Kings, but it's because Flagg had a really quiet first half. He ended up going up and scoring 23 points, going really close to scoring 24 that I needed him to have. And I think he's going to bounce back and have at least 25 in this game. I just think that you look at Flagg over the last 13 games, he's averaging 25.1 points per game. I think that he's looked absolutely tremendous as a mid-range scorer, and that's kind of important when looking at this game because this Portland team is 24th in the NBA at guarding pull-up jumpers. Flagg scores 28% of his points on pull-up jumpers, and I just think that, you know, there's going to be a lot of ways that Flagg can hurt this Blazers team tonight, whether that's in transition, as a pick-and-roll ball handler, or getting to the free-throw line where the Blazers are bottom five in the league in all three of those categories. I think that Flagg is going to look like an absolute star tonight. I don't think there's anybody on the Blazers that's going to be able to do a good enough job of staying in front of him. I think that you might look at this matchup and say, maybe it's Timani Kamara. He's been a very good wing defender since entering the league, but he's been worse this season than he was last season when it comes to defense alone. And I think that Flagg is going to enjoy that matchup quite a bit. So I think he scores 24-plus. Even if he doesn't, like, I'm just willing to take a shot on it because of what his role has looked like and just how, you know, reliant this Mavericks team is on his scoring at the moment. I think it's worth taking a chance on. So Flagg over 23.5 at -114, then a lean on the Mavericks just because I do think that Portland, without Jrue Holiday, who is going to be missing tonight's game. I do think that this is a team that is just a little bit worse than Dallas, both offensively and defensively right now. So even with the Mavericks having some key absences, I would expect them to win this game if Davis is out there. I think they're actually a really good team when Davis is out there. So that's the way that I am looking at that game. The NBA is back, and if you think you know hoops, now's the time to prove it with Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball predictions into real cash. Download the Better app and make your picks, more or less on your favorite players' points, rebounds, and assists, however you see the game playing out. Track your lineup live, watch the numbers move, and sweat every possession right there in the app. And right now, Better is making it easy to get started. Use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit required. Just sign up, make your picks, and you're right in the action. Better Picks is live in 33 states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. So download Better, that's BETR, and use code VSINPOD to score your free $10. Better Picks, basketball just got better. Must be 18 plus in ineligible states. Terms and conditions apply. I think that you should jump on that offer. I think the $10 free, any free money you can get from these sports book, you want to jump on it. And I did give out three NBA player props for tonight. They have a great interface when you're talking about player props. So head over to Better, get that $10 using code VSINPOD, VSINPOD. And you will not regret it. You're never going to regret taking these free bets. Let's recap tonight's best bets because I did throw a lot at you. It starts with Ryan Rollins over 19.5 points and assists at -105 versus the Hornets. I have a parlay with Nets alternate +10.5 versus the Warriors and Heat alternate +8.5 versus the Nuggets at -118. Playing that to win 1.5 units, it's a bigger play for me. I have Anthony Black over 27.5 points, rebounds, and assists at -110 versus the Raptors. Pelicans +8.5 at -108 versus the Knicks. Another parlay with Timberwolves money line versus the Bulls and Cavaliers alternate +10.5 versus the Spurs at -125. Then Cooper Flagg over 23.5 points at -114 versus the Blazers. That is six plays for tonight. Potentially could add a little bit more. So head over to vsin.com, jump on that VSIN Pro Holiday New Year offer. That is a really strong offer. I've mentioned it before, but I'm going to be starting to handicap tennis soon. So you're going to get a lot of that from me. If you enjoy my handicapping for this, you will probably enjoy my handicapping for tennis, even though they are very different sports. I think the tennis is the most slept on market in all of sports betting, just because it's always on. I feel like there are always edges and it is really fun to watch. So I would suggest, you know, giving it a shot and, you know, heading over to vsin.com to check out my tennis work. But also we have all the other sports covered at the website. We also have Steve Mackinnon, our analytics expert, who does great work on the NBA, kind of complimenting what I'm doing on the website every day. So head over to vsin.com if you are a VSIN pro, or become a VSIN pro, and you will probably get some more picks from me. But good luck with your bets tonight. Hopefully we get back in the win column. It was a little bit of a slow weekend, but I'm thinking we bounce back with the big night tonight. And good luck, and hopefully you join me on the Tuesday show of Hardwood Handicappers.